Welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, joined once again by my fellow program manager, Leon Wieliki. Welcome, Leon.
Thank you very much, Ron.
And now, I noticed you wrote this kind of interesting article in the MSDN magazine. It was in December, right?
It was in January, actually.
January? Okay. Yeah. All right. So it's a cool article. And today, we're going to kind of go through the little sample application. Now, we can't cover all of it because, you know, it's a short program, right? We're going to cover just an overview of it, but tell me about this article. Why don't we show the sample first, and then you can tell me about what you did.
Great. The idea here in the article is to show how to write your own control flow activities.
Okay.
So what we do in the article is we go through three different examples that show three different levels of complexity of control flow activities, and we go through all the details of creating and fleshing that activities out.
Ah, so a control flow is like a sequence. Like that's
yes.
a simple, like this, then this, then this. That's control flow.
Exactly. Control flow activities are activities that govern the execution of other activities.
Okay.
The execution semantics of other activities. And examples in the framework, in the activities that we ship in the box, include sequence, like you said, parallel, flowchart, even the state machine CDP is a control flow activity.
Ah, cool. Okay, so what do you got here on the screen?
Great. Here I have a very simple control flow activity,
okay.
the first one in the article,
mm-hmm.
that it's called execute when through, or execute if through, actually.
Okay.
And the idea of this is sometimes you want to execute an activity if an expression is true.
Oh, okay.
So you have to use an if.
Right.
And you have if, then else.
Yeah.
And the else is kind of a tax that you have to pay for doing
right.
that.
Right, sort of sitting the there empty like nothing, right?
Yeah, a lot of white space in your sequence. So the idea here is to have an activity where we can specify a condition.
Yeah.
And if that condition is true, we will execute a contained activity.
Okay.
And the beauty of it is that because of the composability that we have in the framework, in level 4, this activity, any activity that can be included in the body of this executive true can be any custom activity that we write or anything that we have in the box.
And of course, our Endpoint TV watchers have seen our 5-part series on activities, best practices that you and I did. So they would know that because this can have one child, it should have one child.
Exactly.
And you compose, if you wanted to put more than one thing, you would drop a sequence in there.
Exactly. If you want to put, you can put a sequence or you can put a parallel and have everything executing in parallel, whatever.
Or a flowchart or whatever you wanted.
Exactly.
Right? Okay, excellent.
But the multiple children semantics are not baked into this activity, but in the child of the body.
Which is excellent. Okay, so what else you got to show me here? Want to look at that activity?
Well, let's go look to the code of that activity.
Okay.
And let's see how difficult it is to write
an
activity like this.
All right, cool.
So we have here executive through. And what you will see is that many people that I met, they feel like kind of intimidated by the fact that they are writing a control flow activity.
This is intimidating.
It seems kind of scary, but you know, it's actually very simple.
Okay.
This activity in particular is like 15 lines of code.
Sweet.
So let's go through that 15 lines of code and see what they are. So the first thing that we have to do when we write an activity, being a control flow activity or a leaf activity or whatever, is choosing the appropriate base class.
Okay.
And previously in our activities best practices videos, we discussed about the hierarchy of base classes that we have for creating activities.
Right.
Usually control flow activities derive from native activity.
Oh, yeah.
That is the base class that provides us full access to the runtime.
Yeah, and they have to, don't they? I mean, really, in order to be a control flow, you have to be a native activity, right?
Because you need to schedule other activities.
Yes, yeah.
So that's why they usually derive from native activity. You could get to do some control flow activities by doing declarative composition.
Yeah.
With, you know, deriving
from activity. Yeah.
Using the designer.
Yeah.
But the activities that we have in the framework for control flow, the ones that we ship, they derive from native activity.
Oh, okay.
But you can go either way.
Okay.
This is the most common way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. We decided the base class. It's native activity, as we said.
Yeah.
So the next thing that we have to do is to define the signature of the activity.
Okay.
And the surface of the activity.
Right.
And in this case, sorry for that, what we will have is a condition that is the thing that we want to evaluate in order to decide if we want to execute a contained activity.
Right.
And the contained activity is what we can set with this property.
Okay.
So our activity will have a Boolean condition, an input argument of type Boolean that is a condition, and a body that will be executed if that condition is true.
Okay.
Notice here that we have decorated this condition, this argument, with the required argument attribute.
Another best practice.
Yeah. And what that means is that the runtime will verify is that if that argument has been set before executing the activity.
So if I'm in the designer, I don't set it, I'm going to get a warning from the designer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Without having to write any additional code.
Yeah.
That's just decorating your argument with that.
And in fact, an interesting side note, in this release of .NET Framework and Visual Studio, if I build with that warning, it will build, it will happily build, but it'll throw at runtime. But in the next release, it will actually cause a compile error.
Exactly. Exactly. You won't be able to continue with the build.
That's good.
If you have this argument not set. So the next important piece of code here that we want to take a look at is the execute method.
Okay.
And as you remember from the previous videos, the execute method is where all the action happens.
Right.
In our activity. So in the execute, what we do is, if the body is set, and the expression evaluates to true, we do it through, we get the value through the context.
Uh-huh.
You see here, this is the piece where we evaluate the expression.
Yeah.
Then go and schedule the body.
Ah, yes, this is another little interesting bit of work here, because I'm thinking about this, I'm looking at this, I'm saying, what if the body is null? Then in that case, we just do nothing.
You do nothing. It's a no-op.
Which is okay. I mean, it's not an error. It's just a no-op.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the interesting thing here to notice is that every time that we interact with the runtime, we are doing it through the context.
Right.
First, we need to get the value. We need to evaluate the expression and get the value. We are doing with context.getValue.
Right.
Passing the argument as, you know, the argument of context.getValue.
Right.
When I say the argument, I mean the in argument.
Yes.
And the result of this will be the expression associated to this condition evaluated, and getting the result of the evaluation of that expression in return.
Oh, okay.
And when I want to execute the body, I don't execute it right away. Rather, we schedule it.
Yeah.
And the way in which we schedule an activity, a child activity, is through the context. So here what we are telling the workflow runtime is, go and schedule this activity.
Which is why you needed to be a native activity.
Exactly.
Because you get a native activity context, which has schedule activity on it.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Now, this is it.
Yeah.
There's no more to it.
Except for the designer.
Except for the designer. Great point. So, the next thing that we have to do is go and build a designer for this activity. So,
and I see you have the designer attribute there.
Yeah. Right? You have two ways in which you can associate an activity with a designer.
Mm-hmm.
One is by adding an attribute to the activity where you put that in the code, that this activity will be associated with this designer.
Okay.
The other one is you can use reflection and emit those attributes during runtime.
Okay.
And that's what allows you to, given an existing activity, change the designer that is associated with it.
Ah, yeah.
So for a single activity, you can associate as many different designers as you want.
Ah, I see. Okay, cool.
You can provide different experiences. Let's say that you like the activities that we have in the toolbox, in the web4, but you don't like the designers that we provided, it's okay. You can change them.
Ooh, nice.
But keep the same, you know, execution
semantics.
So let me go to the designer that I have it here, actually, prepared. And as you can see, the designers are built entirely using SAML. And the good thing is that as easy as it is to write the custom native activity, writing a designer is as easy as well.
Ah, okay.
Because you have several controls that you can reuse.
And it's just WPF.
WPF.
So if you don't know WPF, you got to get a little bit of WPF knowledge here going, but it's not too bad, though.
Yeah, and I mean, all the knowledge that you have in WPF, you can leverage here, and you can do crazy things if you want.
Yeah, right, right.
And if you don't know much WPF, it's okay, because you can reuse these samples and the controls that we ship, and you can create very basic designers pretty quickly.
Okay.
So the first thing is that we have a base class, the Activity Designer. That is what we derive from for creating our designer. And let me give you a layout of the designer. What do we have here?
Mm-hmm.
We have two pieces, a place where we enter the condition and a place where we drop an activity.
Okay.
Those two things are two components that we provide.
Okay.
For entering the condition, we will use something that is called expression text box. As you can see here.
Yeah.
And the expression text box is a surface area where you can edit an expression.
Yeah.
And just by adding that, you will have VB IntelliSense support, auto-completion, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right.
Just by adding this control here.
And
the good thing of that is that you can bind the result of your editing session, I mean, of whatever you enter here, to an argument or to a property of the thing that is being edited, of the underlying object that you're modeling.
And just there's a little bit of WPFism here that some people might not be familiar with, which is the converter. It's just kind of off to the side there. But it's important to note that you have to have this argument to expression converter.
That's a great point. Whatever you enter here, mm-hmm. we have to transform into expression. Yeah. And the good thing is that you don't have to write that converter yourself.
Right. We provide one.
We provide one that you can see that is here in the resources.
Right.
Right. So as you can see, this is pretty simple. We set here the expression text box. That is the box where we will be entering the expression. We have full VB support, IntelliSense, all the variables that are in scope, et cetera, et cetera.
And then you also did bindings. So you have a binding to modelItem.condition. So what's that about?
Great. ModelItem is the thing that you're editing.
Okay, so it's my activity.
Your activity. Yeah. And in this case, when you say ModelItem.condition, that means that whatever you edit here will be assigned to the condition property of the thing that you're editing.
Okay, because our class had a condition property, an in argument of bool, that's what's going to get assigned there.
Exactly.
Ah, good. Okay.
If it would have a second property and I want to use another expression text box, I would just change model item dot whatever the name of your property is.
Ah, okay.
And the things have to match whatever you put here with what you have in the OM.
And then you have owner activity, which binds just to the actual activity.
Exactly.
Okay.
Then let's go to the second part of it, and it's the place where we drop an activity.
Okay.
The container where we can get something from the toolbox and drop it there,
yeah.
or something that is already in the workflow. And what we use there is the workflow item presenter.
Okay.
Workflow item presenter is a control where we can add activities, that we can add a single child activity.
Right.
And the way in which it works is very similar than expression text box,
yeah.
in the sense that you bind it to the model item dot a property.
Right.
So in this case, what I'm saying is, I have a workflow item presenter where I can add an activity, and the activity that I add there will be bound to the model item.body.
Ah, okay. Sweet.
And the other thing, as you can see, I'm putting a hint text, that is whatever you see here.
Yeah.
And the padding, that is how separate it is from the corners. I mean, that's just kind of cosmetic.
Yeah, excellent.
And let me show you how does it look like. We already seen it, but let's look at it again. When we use it.
Yeah, there it is right there.
Let me show you, for example, if I delete this condition.
Then we get the validation.
I have the validation.
Yeah.
And as you can see, I didn't have to do anything to get the validation event and show the glyph. That was service that was something that was taken care of automatically for me.
Ah, excellent. You know, Leon, this looks really great, and it's totally simple to create this kind of level of control flow activity, and the designer is very cool. Tell you what we should do. Let's stop right here. And then next time on Endpoint, we'll come back and talk about the second case and maybe the third one, or we might do a third episode. Okay?
Might do it.
All right. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.